patient.
And actually, before we get started, if everybody, when you go to talk, if you'll press your button and let it turn green and speak into the microphone, please, so that the recording will pick you up. It's recording.
It's recording? Okay, very good. So it is Monday, October 30th. It is 4:31 p.m. I'm calling the meeting to order, and we'll start with the pledge, and then we'll introduce everyone. How about that?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everybody. So for the record, let's go through and have everybody introduce themselves. I'm Ellen Schmidt. I am your chair.
I'm J.J. Dixon, commission member.
Eric Freiberger, commissioner.
William Mall, commission member.
Herbie Oberdorfer, ethics director.
Paige Johnston, ethics office.
Cherry Pollock, Office of General Counsel.
Sandy Homburg House, Ethics Office.
Scott Simpson, Ethics Commission.
Linda McCallum, Ethics Commission.
LaTanya Lipscomb-Smith, Ethics Commission.
Darcy Gowner, Member of the Commission.
Thank you, everybody. So everybody is present and accounted for, so we have quorum plus. I'm going to turn things over to Kirby for ethics thought for our meeting today.
Thank you very much. Since one of our primary topics today is to elect a new member and also to elect your leaders, I thought I would start with a ethics thought about ethical leadership. This comes from Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. An ethical leader leads by example, demonstrating honesty, fairness, and compassion in all interactions.
Thank you, Kirby. That is beautiful and timely. So moving on to minutes approval, I think I should call your attention to our beautiful notebook. I know we had these notebooks on a previous meeting, but they're spectacular. Thank you, Sandy. Sandy, you put these together, correct? Thank you, Sandy. So the copies of each of the minutes that we need to consider approving are in your packets, starting on tab 2. And so regarding the Legislative Committee meeting minutes from July 25th, I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes if somebody is so inclined.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion, any concerns about the minutes? Has everybody had a chance to look at them? Hearing none, all those in favor of accepting the minutes as submitted, say aye.
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 Anybody? Okay, next up under tab 3 are your minutes from the Ethics Commission meeting from July 27th, and I will be happy to once again entertain a motion if somebody wishes to
I'll move.
One. Oh, thank you, Darcy.
Second.
Thank you, Eric. Everybody, if you haven't had a chance to review them, you can take a look. Any discussion or concerns? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anybody opposed? I have to tell if everybody said aye, but I think everybody did. Okay, next, under tab 4 are the nominating committee meeting minutes from the August 21st meeting. Anyone want to make a motion to approve these minutes?
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor of approving those minutes, say aye.
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 Okay, and then the nominating committee meeting met again on September 28th. And those minutes are here.
Move to approve the meeting minutes for the September 28th meeting.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion? None. Okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Oh, that time I think I heard everybody. Thank you. Next up, we have our reports. First from our ethics office. Kirby, take it away.
Thank you very much. It's nice to see everybody again. It's been a little bit of time since we last met. The ethics office has been incredibly busy, and our primary areas of focus. First is conflicts of interest. We probably have 20-something different matters that Paige and I collectively are working on for conflicts of interest. Jacksonville is a very small town, and so since everybody seems to have connections to other people or businesses, it's not uncommon for conflicts of interest to arise, and many of them will have exemptions or will be worked out in the law through the State Ethics Commission. But we do look at them, and we make sure that it is in accordance with the law and in accordance with the State Ethics Commission and the Office of General Counsel. Then another big area we've been working on is training. We've been doing lots of training because of the transition in the government. So we've trained the mayor and her staff. We've trained city council and their staff, the new ECAs. We did training for the Planning Commission recently. And continue to do it for boards and commissions and for new employees and all across. And we just did the Library Board of Trustees as well. So we've been robust in our training and program updates and trying to do micro modules on small summaries of the law and issues that are kind of common in certain cycles, like campaign season. We'll do one on campaign regulations and that kind of thing. And for the holidays, we'll do one on gifts. And we've done one recently on sunshine communications for the new council members. So we've been doing a lot of that. We've been doing a lot of compliance with financial disclosures and updating that. There are a lot of filers in the city. There's over 100 of those. And so we've been working on that. And I just wanted to give a great praise of thanks for the tremendous staff that works in the ethics office. Mm-hmm. I am blessed to work with a really fantastic team, and I couldn't do it without them. And Sandy's been great about trying to track all of the issues that come in and helps keep us organized and has taken on some big projects. And Paige has been really great in working on conflicts and some other matters with me. And Andrea's done a really good job in the training and keeping up to date and making it innovative. So I'm very appreciative. And Carla's back from France. She went on a sojourn to France, and so she's back. And she is working on some special projects with the office. So that's kind of the office in a nutshell.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions for Kirby about her report? A useless fact about me is the training that Carla and Kirby did when I was serving on the Metropolitan Jacksonville Health Planning Council for HIV and AIDS is what got me excited about the Ethics Commission. And after I listened to their training, I was like, I got to get on that.
I must find my way.
Yeah,
I must. On the order, Chairman, I just want to ask one question. Could you expedite the public comments ahead of everything else?
I apologize, but no, we're going to keep the order, but we will introduce public comments when we vote and at the end of the meeting. I'm sorry. Next up is Cherry's report.
Yes, this is the OGC report, and Chairman and Commission members, I am pleased to introduce you to our new Acting General Counsel, Michael Fackler. He was unanimously recommended by the Qualifications Committee, the mayor's recommended appointee, and I'll just let him tell a little bit about himself.
First of all, I appreciate the invitation to come and meet you. Wherever the OGC is involved, I wanted to make sure I started a relationship and a dialogue with everyone to make sure everyone feels comfortable working with our great attorneys, and if you need any communication directly with me, to at least have a face to associate. I can also comment on Kirby's thorough training. I was one of her invitees, volunteers, or voluntolds. it was very thorough. So I appreciate that. I appreciate the opportunity to come and see how you operate and what you do. And I will stay around for some more than one meeting, but I do have to run for long, so I apologize if I slip out and interrupt anyone. But if you have any questions, I'm happy to take them. Otherwise, thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming and for introducing yourself. We have a great relationship with your office, and so we're happy to get to know you personally. Thank you.
That's what I like to hear.
Thank you.
Chair, if I may.
Yes.
And I was remiss in not mentioning that I trained Mr. Fackler for quite an extensive period of time. I'm sorry about that. We just had a really good dialogue of the interface between the commission and our office and OGC, and I wanted to make sure he was apprised of the types of issues that could arise and the involvement with his office sometimes and with our office and how we work hand-in-hand on some of the conflicts things. But we have gotten off to a great start. We've had some really fantastic fantastic conversations and dialogue, and they've offered to assist the commission and some other things, and I'm greatly appreciative of all of that, so I just didn't want the time to pass without thanking Mr. Fackler.
Thank you, Kirby, and thank you again. Okay, next up, we have a report from the Complaints Committee. JJ, what would you like to share with us?
Complaints doesn't have a new report since the last time we met, but we do have three complaints that have been submitted, and so we will be meeting on those soon.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. Let's move on to new business, and obviously we just introduced Mr. Fackler, so we'll move on to the election of a new appointee to the Ethics Commission. Scott was kind enough to chair that committee, so I'll turn things over to Scott.
Thank you very much.
So
the couple things real quick. You have before you an applicant who committee has recommended, and her resume and application are in your folder, and there are some highlights on the cover page there that you can review about her. She had overall the highest score of all of the applicants. The only thing that I found challenging was the quality of the candidates that the Ethics Office gave us. That was really an exceptional list of people. It was very challenging to get through, and so we had great discussion, robust discussion, but ultimately I think we had the right person rise to the top, and she's recommended, and you can review kind of a summary about her in front of you. And did we want to give her an opportunity to introduce herself?
Absolutely.
Real quick.
Hi, I'm Renee Leah Palestrina. I'm glad to be here. You can see my resume and things I'm involved in. I was involved in local nonprofits here for about 10 years, and now I work for a national nonprofit, so I wanted to find a way to get more involved and more tapped into city government, and I serve on the board of the Interfaith Center of Northeast Florida, and so the executive director of that that board sent this position description to me when it came available, and I was like, wow, this could be a great opportunity to learn more about city government and get involved and get tapped in something I'm passionate about, which is civic engagement, civic duty, and the integrity of our government.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Does anybody have a question they want to ask Leia while she's standing at the podium by a microphone? No. Okay. Go ahead and sit down, and then.
You want to put a motion forward? Yes. Are we at that point yet?
Yes, I think that what we'll do is take a motion and second it, and then have discussion if we need to. And then before we vote, we'll invite public comment on this particular issue, the election of the new member. And then later, we'll have the opportunity for additional public comment on any topic. As I said earlier, I'd be happy to entertain a motion to accept Ms. Palestrant as the Ethics Commission appointee.
So moved.
Second.
Excellent. Any discussion? I'm part of the nominating committee, so I can let you know we did have, as Mr. Simpson said, a robust interview and discussion, and I agree that we've selected the best candidate for the role, but if anybody has any questions, I'm happy to.
After that glowing assessment, do we really need to have any more discussion?
No. So moved and seconded, no additional discussion. So is there anyone who wants to make a public comment on the particular subject? Sir, would you like to make a public comment about Ms. Palestrant's candidacy for the commission? And I'll give you 3 minutes once you get started. And I'm just getting out the timer, so you see what I'm up to.
Yes, my name is Carmen Alford. I know I have a broad mindset, but I know how to stay on duty. I think one of my biggest concerns about her is that her background is heavily focused on the nonprofit sector of our community. And one of my biggest concerns right now is that how can she serve on this board knowing that I am somebody that's a big nonprofit supporter? You know, the thing about it is that are we putting the right people in place to sit on certain commissions? to really involve the integrity and the value of the people of this community. Because as I look at resumes, it's like a lot of it is conscious minded stuff, which is perfectly fine. But for me as a person, I'm looking at what goes on outside of this commission, and it raises a lot of red flags for me because I have a lot of heartburn. Because there are individual council members that are getting city dollars, and if an investigation is raised about one particular one, will that individual nominee hold themselves to a high standards to make sure that the process is working fairly and due diligence? That's one of my biggest concerns. I'm not a real big fan of nonprofits, and I have my reasons. And I'm going to stand on that. She may go through the process and win a lot of votes, but for me, I think we could do better bringing in somebody that's not from this field of work. Because the simple fact is that there's a lot more I understand than the average person.
Thank you. Any further discussion, team?
Chair, if I may.
You may.
I just wanted to make sure that we put this on the record for everyone. The requirements for the members of the Ethics Commission is set forth in Jacksonville Ordinance Code Section 602.912. Mm-hmm. Specifically, subsection D talks about the selection of the three members who are appointed by the commission. And it says three commission members whose only qualifications are that they have been registered voters in Duval County for 6 months prior to the introduction of their nomination for confirmation shall be appointed by the Ethics Commission. So that is your other positions that are appointed by the elected officials have professional qualifications that are tied to them, but the ones that are appointed by the Ethics Commission, the sole qualification is that they be a Duval County voter for the prior 6 months before their nomination. And that was by design when the code for the Ethics Commission was being rewritten in 2011 after the independence of the commission and the office were established to make sure that there was a cross-section of representation among your commissioners and they weren't heavily favored in one professional qualification or another, but I just wanted to put that on the record.
Thank you. So we have a motion and a second, and I'm not hearing any additional discussion. Thank you for the additional layer of detail, Kirby. All those in favor of Ms. Leah Palestrant joining the Ethics Commission as the Ethics Commission's appointee, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Thank you. Thank you. Congratulations.
And just for the commission's education.
So the position that you have just been elected to is mine, not the chairship, but the position that I'm sitting in, because I will term out in December. So you will start serving in January. So your first meeting will be whichever one is called after January 1st, and I will be setting off into the sunset.
And I will do the legislation as well.
Thank you for saying that. Okay.
Yeah, so you have to do legislation, and you'll go before city council as well.
Okay. Right. That's the next step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
what else did you want to add?
That was it. That the next step of the process is that Paige and Cherry will work on the legislation and make sure it's filed in time for the next cycle, which will have it go through the 5-week legislative process before the end of the year so that she would join the commission starting in January, assuming that it goes through and there's not a deferral or any type of issue that arises before council. But that's the next step.
Thank you.
We will be in touch with you to get you the information you need on your legislation and going mm-hmm. through the appointment process.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, next up is, you can read, consideration of change to Ethics Commission Complaint Procedures Rule, and that's under tab 7. And Kirby, do you want to remind us, or does Paige, how do you want to move forward with this?
It doesn't matter. I'm happy to do it. Under tab 7 is the proposed language. So as you may recall, the legislative committee met on July 25th, 2023, relating to certain changes or recommendations of changes to the complaint procedures that the commission itself had discussed in April and May. Mm-hmm. And so they met in July, and one of the changes they wanted to make was complaint procedures rule F, changing the timing of complaints before elections, and then also adopting the provision from state law that you shouldn't announce an intention of filing a complaint. And so we brought that language to the Ethics Commission on July 27th for the meeting to be approved, and there were some changes to the language that we had brought to the commission, and so the redraft of that is before you now, which you can read, and it tracks, I believe, the language that came out of the Legislative Committee, and that is reflected in the minutes that you've adopted of the Legislative Committee meeting. And it's also back before you because your own procedures, your own complaint procedures require that any amendments to those procedures be put in notice to you in writing at least 10 days before the meeting. And so there wasn't that 10-day time period between the legislative meeting and the Ethics Commission meeting last time. So to do all of those things, we bring it back before you to make sure the language is right and to be in accordance with the 10-day time period for changes to the complaint procedures.
Would it be helpful for the record for me to read it out loud, or a copy will be attached to the minutes and it's not necessary? What do you think?
We can certainly attach a copy to the minutes, but if you'd like to read it out loud, I don't see an issue with that.
Read it out loud? Okay. Rule 5, procedures upon receipt of a complaint, a violation of the code. F, complaints within 60 days of election returned. Any complaint against a candidate in a general, special, or primary election that is received within 60 days immediately, is received within the 60 days immediately preceding the date of that election will be returned by the Office of Ethics, Compliance, and Oversight to the person filing the complaint with an explanation of why the complaint is being returned and without any action being taken by the Commission. A complaint returned pursuant to this provision and subsequently refiled after the election shall be deemed to have been filed on the date the complaint was first submitted to the Office of Ethics, Compliance, and Oversight. Additionally, nor may any intention of filing such a complaint be disclosed on the day of any such election or within 60 days immediately preceding the date of the election. Okay. So this is also like a matter we would vote on. So
I'll make a motion for us to adopt these proposed changes to Rule 5.
Thank you, Judge McCallum. Second?
Second.
Okay, second. Any discussion?
I would only add, and perhaps this is because I have to grade a lot of student papers, and I'm always on the lookout for clear language.
Yes, sir.
The final sentence, I just would like, I would be happier with it if it were a little bit clearer and more direct. But I will cede my judgment to the many legal minds present.
So I'm thinking out loud, which is dangerous. If you have a recommended change and we decide to adopt it, then do we need to meet again in order to vote on it? Or only if it's a significantly, you're going to read us the rule, Kirby, to help me know?
And I'll look at the rule.
I love looking at the rules. Not that we're not willing to meet again or discuss it. I just want to make sure
I understand.
I'm
not trying to throw a wrench in the works.
I agree. It's kind of clumsy.
Very clunky, yeah. And I think it needs to be clearer because that's our whole intent is that sentence, I believe.
Why can't you just say additionally?
The Legislative Committee, I thought we had voted. No, we didn't vote on this in the Legislative Committee, this language, did we?
If I may, we actually voted on some changes, and when we came to the full Ethics Commission meeting, the language wasn't what we had discussed. So at the full commission meeting, we had to kind of wordsmith it.
Okay.
Right. And this is the language that was repeated. I went back and listened to the audio. Mm-hmm. We're perfectly happy to refine it,
right.
But this is the language that the commission discussed and put into the motion, and so I just put it in as heard. I didn't make any edits.
So, Kirby, is it okay in the rules to do it on the floor, I guess?
Yeah, I was just reading the rule. It says these procedures may be amended at any regular meeting by a majority vote of the commission, provided that the amendment has been submitted in writing at the previous regular meeting or to the director and Office of General Counsel liaison to the commission at least 10 days prior to the commission meeting at which the procedures will be amended. And then it just says then amendments shall govern all future proceedings of the commission, including those on pending cases. So Cherry and I would have to, I think, depending on the nature of the amendment, Cherry and I would have to confer and perhaps even confer with Mr. Fackler to figure out whether or not that 10-day provision is going to be triggered.
Yes. My recollection was at that meeting that we were trying to wordsmith this. We were trying to meet all the issues that
were
of concern to us, and none of us were too excited about the way that stated, but that was the only way we felt like that message could get across.
This is what we came up with, yes.
Yeah, so if it's clear, then I think we should stick with it. However, if more than half of us think that it's not clear,
if it poses a problem, I'm willing to withdraw my concern.
Procedurally,
it sounds like it's going to be problematic.
Yes.
So I withdraw my comment.
Before you withdraw your comment, right. I mean, you're not the only person that doesn't love the way it sounds. My concern is, I don't know what teeth this has. So if it's if we're saying that you can't announce your intention to file a complaint, what do you do about it? And how do you tell someone they can't announce their intention to file a complaint? If they go to the press and announce it, they did it. And there's really not anything that we can do about it other than, I don't know what we can do about it, actually. So I just don't know what purpose it serves, to be honest with you. I know what we want it to do, but I don't know that we have that capability to do it, I guess is my point.
Well, I think this is the only capability we do have is to put this in our code, because our own code was brought up as an issue regarding the last time this happened. So we have to clarify our code and then go forward after that.
Just keep in mind that this was forwarded to us from the SIC committee, the Special Investigatory Committee. They asked us to do this. Mm-hmm. And I believe that intention of filing, that came up because someone in that committee had made that.
I think what this is trying to cover from conversations is that the state law included this language. You could not file something or you could not declare your intention to file, because they didn't want it to be like a political event where you out in the public said you were going to file something against someone and perhaps affect them in the campaign that was upcoming. And so this came from the state statute, and so we pulled the language about the 60-day and this language about the intention. And I thought that was some of the suggestions that Judge McCallum had, so she may have some thoughts on that. But that's where it came from, was the state statute includes this language.
And I'll just add that this was the source of discussion at the Legislative Committee on July 25th. The page is right that this language comes out of state statutes. I think it's 112.3.1.2.4, I think is the statute. I'll have to go back and check that reference. But it's the statute that says that complaints filed with the Ethics Commission here locally are confidential and exempt from public records until such time as the commission either finds probable cause or dismisses it. But at the discussion, there was discussion at the legislative meeting about can we enforce this? And the only way to enforce it is to put it into the ethics code, which is chapter 602. But there hasn't been legislation, bless you, filed at that time. There was discussion about timing of filing of legislation and not doing it in a transition and let people get their feet wet. And so then the alternative idea was to try to at least codify it in your complaint procedures, even though it might not have enforcement to it. It certainly is a statement by the commission about what their position is on that type of activity. And so they wanted to start there with knowing in the future that there would be potentially some legislation filed to amend the code to make it part of the ethics code so that it could be enforced potentially down the road.
So it seems then, you know, the real, if there is any illusion of teeth, it's the commission's ability to come back and censure or comment at a later date. If someone actually did do this, they filed that intention, then we could bring that before us as a body to discuss and potentially make comment on. That seems about the only place that you could do it. I mean, otherwise, I feel like it treads very carefully close to free speech, but it does also, I agree with you entirely. We want to articulate a desire for this not to happen.
My understanding was this was always step one, that step two would then be that we would go back and try to make changes to not our code, but the municipal code. So we got to kind of go through step one before we can get to step two, and timing was not good on step two because we were in the middle of, you know, a whole election cycle. So,
well, they also can't require us to start an investigation during those 60 days prior to an election cycle, which is what the SIC committee wanted us to do.
Right. Exactly. It prohibits what happened from happening to us.
So, I mean, I agree it doesn't have a lot of teeth, but I think it's maybe the best we can do.
Yeah.
I mean, anyway.
So for step one, I think this language covers that. Okay. This is just step one. When we go, if we decide to go that route to recommend some legislative changes, then we can work on the language and tighten it up then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think this covers us for step one.
I guess the only question I have is that additionally, that paragraph, is it unclear? We don't like the way it sounds, but is there anything about it that's unclear?
I think reading it all together, it's clear, no complaint nor intention to file. I think, again, for step one, it covers the bases, and I think it's clear. I will agree that it's, you know, it could be worded differently. I would probably add something differently, but for step one, I think we're good, and then we could work on, in the legislative committee or going forward, we could work on more definite language or different language.
From the perspective of a non-attorney, I understand why you think the language is clunky, but I get the message loud and clear about the intent. So I think that our goal is met.
I have no problem with it. And you're an attorney.
I have no problem with it, and I'm not an attorney. I clearly understand.
Any more discussion? So we had a motion and a second, and we've had some discussion, and we're poised to vote. And so this is another opportunity for public comment before we vote on this particular matter about the proposed changes to the Ethics Commission complaint procedures. No? Okay. There's no public comment. So all those in favor of adopting this language, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Thank you, everybody. Next up, Ethics Office budget. Kirby.
Thank you. So this should be able to be found in tab 8 of your notebook. This is some of the summary sheets. We went through the budget process in the city, and the budget for the office was unanimously approved by City Council at its September 26th meeting, and we started October 1st of our new fiscal year. So many, many thanks to the Finance Committee of City Council, the Chair, Nick Howland, and the entire City Council for unanimously supporting the budget, and for the Mayor's Office also for supporting it. So I just wanted to walk through some of these reports and just give you the highlights of them. The first page is just a summary of the full-time employees that we have. You should be very familiar with them. There's Andrea, who's our Ethics Program and Training Manager. There's me as the Executive Director. And then there's Paige, who fills the Ethics Attorney position. And so there's three, and that's the summary of our full-time salaries. Mm-hmm. This year, there were some cost of living adjustments that were negotiated between the employee unions and the prior administration. And so this year we each got a 2.5% cost of living adjustment to our salaries. So if you flip the next page over, you're going to see revenues. And essentially what that means is from the independent agencies, there's six or seven of them that each contribute a certain amount. We get collectively 53 $1,500 to our budget. JEA contributes the most. They contribute $25,000 each year, and then some contribute $7,500, and then some contribute $5,000. And all of those agreements expire this year, and so we'll be looking to work with the independent agencies to figure out a path forward. The Inspector General's office had the prior administration negotiate contracts for them with the other independent agencies because they didn't think it was appropriate to be going and asking for money from those people that they would regulate or investigate. I think the same type of philosophy would apply here. And so I haven't had a chance to talk to the incoming administration. They certainly have had their hands full with getting acclimated to the city and other major issues. And we did have, as we call them, MOUs, Memorandums of Understanding, for this year to cover the 53.5, which is the revenue contribution, but that will be needed to look at this coming year for next fiscal year. Then the next page is, it says page 2 of 2, and I'm going to ask you to flip over to page 1 of 2. This is a breakdown of the expenses for the office, and I'm just going to run down really kind of the highlights. So you see the salaries are broken out, and at the end you see total salaries, and the line is $497,697. That did increase when we brought Paige into the office last November. She has been with the city a lot longer than Aaron had been, and also Paige has a certification with the Florida Bar and some other things. So she was making a much higher salary than originally budgeted, but we got that money in the budget process, so we appreciate that. And any increase was based on either Paige joining or the 2.5% that we all got. The next one's the pension costs, employer-provided benefits, internal service charges, insurance costs, and professional contract services. These are all determined internally by the budget office, by our ITD, Office of General Counsel, our copy center. They all set these fees and charges, and we don't really have any input into it, so it just gets plugged into our budget every year. What we do have control over is the last category, the other operating expenses, and the only major change here is you'll see in travel expense, it was originally $1,870 and then it was approved by council as $2,300. The reason why is since COVID has cleared and people have resumed traveling, we now are going to conferences that require travel. And so there's a mechanism in the city where you can move money around from account line to account line, but I didn't want to keep doing that. I wanted to be as accurate in the budget as possible. And so I just basically decreased money out of training, which I'll show you is another line, and moved it into travel because we would be traveling more. So I increased the travel expenses by not quite $500, something around that. And then if you flip over on the last page, the employee training expenses is the last line item expense under that. And you see it decreased from $2,700 to the $2,270. So that's a summary of our budget.
Thank you. Any questions about the budget? I think I'm going to reorder something on the agenda because next up we were going to talk about the officers for 2024, and after that we were going to talk about Kirby's evaluation. But I want to talk about Kirby's evaluation in the context of the budget. So one of the responsibilities of the chair of the commission is to evaluate the ethics director. And so Kirby and I have been working together on her performance evaluation for the last little bit. You guys should have copies of the evaluation. Mine is in color, and so I can see where I highlighted in yellow the scores that I gave Kirby, which are excellent. The evaluation evaluates her professionalism, her ability to meet her work commitments, her organization of her work, her skills and abilities to perform in the area of the director of the ethics office, and her ability to meet the program requirements. And I have the opportunity to talk about her strengths and any opportunities for her to grow and other comments. And so as I was working on this, I just want you all to know how much I have appreciated working with Kirby and everyone in the office that we're focusing on Kirby today and the incredible professional and personal integrity that she has exhibited, her commitment to this office and to the program, her legal knowledge and expertise, all the experience that she brings to this role. She has consistently and persistently demonstrated professionalism and integrity in all her actions on behalf of the office. I've enjoyed learning from her. I said in the evaluation she's a natural teacher. She's very engaged. She's engaging as a speaker. I have learned more about the rule of law from Kirby than you could ever imagine, and it's been a privilege to work with her. I'm excited for all of you to be able to continue to work with her, and a little crushed about my need to rotate off. And it's just been a privilege to work with you, Kirby. I know you know that I feel that way, but I'm glad to have the opportunity to read it into the record. I wrote under areas for opportunities to grow about work-life balance. I cannot tell you how many times Kirby and I are talking on the phone at 8 o'clock at night, at 9 o'clock at night, and Kirby is still in the office, and she is diligently working. She is going to stay until the work is done. She takes work home with her. This may be too personal, but I've like met with you literally in the hospital when your child was in the hospital because we had something to work on. Yeah. And we're like literally meeting in the hospital to have a conversation, to work, to advance work. And I say all that just to say that Kirby will do what it takes to get the job done. And she makes a lot of sacrifices for her job. And Kirby hasn't had a raise since 2021 when she got the promotion. So I don't know that she's had, beyond a cost of living increase, I don't know that she's ever had a merit increase at all in the time she served as the deputy director or as the time she served as, I know she hasn't since she's been the director. And so I would like to figure out a way for the commission to recommend some kind of merit increase for Kirby, but I don't know how to do it. I've seen other, you guys know, as I'm, this role, I'm the chair of the Inspector General Selection and Retention Committee. That office was that officer was just given a nice raise based on his performance. I can't understand why we don't have a process like that built into our process. And so I need some education because I'd like to recommend that we make a recommendation for a raise.
I don't have an agreement.
Sorry, Cherry was asking if it was built into my agreement, and I was just saying that I don't have an agreement.
Okay.
After the JEA exploration of sale, as they called it, and all of the contracts that were heavily favored towards management there and against JEA, the General Counsel's office very much did not want many people to be under contract when it wasn't necessary, and it's not necessary for this position to be under contract. So that was the decision that was made. So it's not built into a contract. The only process of which I'm aware to make changes to the budget mid-year, particularly affecting personnel and salary, is to go through the Mayor's Budget Review Committee.
Okay.
And they meet every 2 weeks, I think, to consider a whole host of changes to department requests for increases in their budget to handle certain things. And that could be done in conjunction either through employee services or through the mayor's administration. I'm not even sure if there's money in the budget that would support a raise. That would have to come from finance and administration and the mayor's administration in terms of the numbers and what's in the budget for the city overall.
So I have some thoughts about this. So one step forward could potentially be meeting with the head of HR.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to her before. So procedurally, I don't quite know what to do if I need the support of the commission to like empower me to have this meeting and figure out what to do next. Would that be the right move?
I think that would be the right move since the commission does have the authority to hire the director and to fire the director and to set the compensation.
So
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Did we do something for Carla before? Didn't we ask for an increase for Carla? salary increase?
Yes.
I don't remember how we did that, though.
Yeah, so, yes, there was an increase in Carla's hourly rate. That's a good memory. That was a while ago, a long while ago. And Carla was under an agreement. So her agreement limited her to, I think, $75 an hour or something. And so she ended up going to $90 an hour or something like that. And so you had to change the agreement. But, yeah, so that was a little bit of a different process.
I think Joe was the chair then.
May have been. It's been quite some time.
Yeah, there was an agreement. That's the difference.
So I'm just thinking out loud again, twice in one meeting, terrifying. would it be that I would be asking for a motion to empower? Do I need a motion to go have this conversation? It would be helpful to know if I had support, especially as I'm the outgoing chair, but that's what I would like to do, go explore this a little bit, figure out what has to happen. And I mean, Kirby did not ask for this. Kirby may want to kill me after the meeting. I don't know what's going to happen. I may be, if she offers to walk me to the car, one of you guys have to come with me. She didn't know I was going to bring this up, but it just seems like Kirby has been working very hard. She's doing a very good job, and her compensation hasn't changed in 2 years, other than the cost of living increase that was negotiated for all the city employees.
Yeah. Well, to answer your question, if you believe that you need a motion, since it is the Ethics Commission, it's their power to hire and fire the Ethics Director, then, yeah, I would recommend that, you know, there be a motion so that there is a, you know, collective
delegate authority.
Well, yeah, definitely to delegate authority to the chair to go and speak with the employee services director. I think the whole commission should vote on it, delegate an authority for you to, you know, speak on behalf of Kirby. Yeah. Yes.
And Paige, you're saying to have a conversation.
Keeping the commission updated. Yeah. Bring it back.
My thought would be that they would delegate to you that authority to go and have the conversations and then come back to the commission and give them the information that you have and maybe what your recommendations may be and see what the commission would like to do.
I move to authorize the Ethics Commission chair to explore a salary increase for the director of the Ethics Office, including meeting with the Director of Employee Services, and to report back to the commission.
Thank you. Perfect.
Second.
Any additional discussion?
I have a question under discussion.
Sure.
Under discussion, is it appropriate for Kirby to be a part of this discussion? I'm not putting you out for the discussion.
Okay. So you're asking it whether she needs to recuse her? Because she's not voting or anything. I think it's, you know, you want her to leave the room or something?
Can I weigh in with a thought?
Yeah.
So I'm the chair of the Inspector General Selection and Retention Committee, and we had this entire debate about his salary, all the numbers. One of the members was working on a calculator saying if we did 5%, it would be this. If we did 7%, and the whole Inspector General office, including the Inspector General, right there. It was as transparent as could be.
Yeah.
And there was someone over there representing employee services. It wasn't the director, but somebody, Kelly
O'Leary.
Kelly O'Leary was there. It seemed like that was an appropriate and accepted activity.
Okay.
And it was as laid out bare.
Because of the Sunshine Law,
you're
going to have to have conversations on those types of things, although they may seem uncomfortable to some people.
Yeah, I'm just asking for clarification.
Making
I don't have any ulterior motive. I'm just asking.
Right. Great questions.
And having said that, if you all would like me to leave the room, I'm more than happy to do that.
I think we should follow what the Inspector General, everyone is in the room, so that way, Kirby, you should be able to stay in the room while they have to do. And right now, this is just preliminary. You're just going to go and have a conversation right now. That's what you're voting on. And then, you know, you can come back with your, you know, the report to the commission.
Okay. Any other discussion? So we're going to vote. So that's another opportunity for public comment? No. Okay. Nobody wanted additional discussion. I feel like I didn't give you enough time. Okay. So all those in favor, say aye.
I just wanted to make sure you restate your motion again. You're moving to authorize the chair.
I knew you were going to do that.
I want to make sure.
I need a court reporter to play it back for me.
I know you said you're moving to authorize the chair.
Authorize the chair to explore increasing compensation for the ethics office director, including meeting with the director of employee services, and then report back to the commission. For discussion.
Got it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Okay. Thank you. Okay. Now let's do 2024 officers. Herbie, maybe you could help us understand the requirements for people to serve, and then we can talk through nominations or self-nominations.
Absolutely. So under your tab for IOP, your internal operating procedures, which are towards the back of your book, on the second page, or third page, I should say, is Section 5, Election of Officers. So I'll give everybody an opportunity to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And there also is, I think, a summary in your book as well, but you can read it right from the... So it's the internal operating tab, it's IOP, and it's your the third page of the internal operating procedures, and it's Rule 5, Election of Officers. Okay. That rule says, the commission shall elect a chair and vice chair each year no later than the November or December meeting. So good we're having it now. Mm-hmm. The term of office is one calendar year. A person can serve as chair for only two consecutive terms, unless the rule is waived. The term shall begin on January 1st. A member must have served as a member of the Ethics Commission for at least 6 months before serving as chair and vice chair. The current chair may poll members as to their interest in serving as chair or vice chair, which our chair asked us to do for the Ethics Commission. We sent it out, and we got everyone to respond. Thank you so very much. Only JJ stated that she wanted to be chair. Nobody else wanted or was willing to serve in the capacity as chair. So JJ is your sole nominee for that position. Congratulations, JJ.
Oh, yeah. Send me on January 1st.
So the rule goes on to say, if more than one member has an interest in serving in a position, the chair may appoint a nominating committee of three members to meet prior to the full commission meeting. Committee members are not barred from being nominated. And then the nominating committee would make a recommendation for either the chair and vice chair at the full commission and the majority vote. So criteria to determine the selection of chair and vice chair shall include, but is not limited to, the member's length of service on the commission, record of attendance at commission and committee meetings. And as to vice chair, I would say that Dr. Freiberger said he was interested in serving as vice chair, and Judge McCallum said she would serve if needed.
Yes, so I defer.
Okay, so she's...
You beat me to the punch.
I defer.
So it looks like you have only one candidate for chair, which is JJ, and one candidate for vice chair, which is Dr. Freiberger, so you don't need a nominating committee.
Thank you. I'm thinking to myself if we should ask for a motion to... elect the slate of officers or do them separately?
Can we do them separately?
We could do whatever we
want. Yeah, let's do them separately. My other board, we do it separately.
Well, okay. I make a motion to have JJ be our chair.
Okay.
I second. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
I don't know about this.
Too late.
It's a joy. It's a joy. Any further discussion? So this is, of course, a motion that we're going to vote on. So we're voting right now on to whether or not to elect JJ as our chair for the coming year. Any public comments? No. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? I was holding out for JJ to oppose her himself.
And thank you for that. I will now entertain a motion to elect Dr. Freiberger as the vice chair.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Public comment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anybody opposed? Oh, you have a new slate of officers. I'm excited. We moved, so we're up to, almost my favorite topic, holiday party. Kirby and I talked a little bit about the holiday party, and I, for one, of course, want to have a holiday party, and I'm wondering if everybody else does, and then assuming they do, we can talk a little bit about a venue. Did we poll everybody about a holiday party?
We did not. We did not.
Last year, you might remember, we had it at
a far, 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 far away place.
Cherry was unimpressed with having to go to Mandarin. We went to Blue Bamboo in Mandarin, which is very far for Cherry.
Very far.
Very far for Judge McCallum as well. I didn't think it was that far, but I did say about 100 curse words when it took me, I think, 12 minutes to go 3/10 of a mile on San Jose. So if there's an appetite for a holiday party, then we could certainly figure out what's central to most and pick a different venue. I don't know if downtown works for most. But let's go with the premise, do we want to have a holiday party? Please say yes. Excellent.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Holiday party. What is central? Is downtown central for everybody? Like, I live in East Arlington. I'll go anywhere, though, for a party.
Downtown is good.
Downtown good is for LaTanya?
Yeah, downtown's fine. Mm-hmm. Downtown's fine.
Is a downtown venue better for most?
Downtown works for me.
So
downtown's going to be limited.
What's downtown? I was going
to
say,
how about downtown San Marco? Like, can we consider downtown San Marco?
A lot of good restaurants. Definitely.
Yeah, that's up to you all.
Yeah, I would say, yes. San Marco area.
Downtown San Marco.
So Kirby, you said that the place that you had it, there's more, like, you don't have to pay for the room or something?
Right. So Cherry and I were having this discussion earlier today.
She feels very strongly.
About the location of the holiday party. One of the things I was sharing with Cherry is, in years past and in last year, when we have a great group that gets together and it's larger in numbers, we like to try to have a private space that's not part of a larger, noisier restaurant. And many times, because it's the holidays, restaurants will want to charge you, whereas Blue Bamboo did not charge us for the use of that room. Mm-hmm. We paid for our food and for the drinks and everything, and the city did not pay, let's be clear. Everybody paid their own way, but the use of the rental of the room. So I'm happy to, with Sandy and our crew, to look into locations other than Blue Bamboo, but that would be one caveat and one issue that we've run into before. Like, I'm a member of the River Club. We looked there 1 year, and it was exorbitant to rent the room, mm-hmm. to even have the pleasure of being there. So,
and I think we talked about Carla's a member at Deerwood, but Deerwood is not
central.
It's not central.
Okay. Yeah, so.
So here's another thought. Mm-hmm. Does everyone want it to be kind of a formal dinner, or would there be any interest in having, like, the River Taxi, a River Cruise, Sunset River Cruise, something like that?
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be fun.
I mean, from my perspective.
You guys, you can bring your own stuff and, just chips and appetizers and your drinks, and I can see if I can make that happen for not a very expensive cost, if you guys are interested. Mm.
I'm 100% interested.
That sounds great.
Okay.
I like
All right.
that.
I will find out.
Okay. Hey. Wonderful. Thank you.
River Cruise. All right. You're the new chair of the party.
Judge
McCallum.
I like that.
Okay,
that
so we're in favor. We'll ask Sandy perhaps to poll us for dates that might work. Maybe once Judge McCallum gets a little more data about the River Cruise idea, and we can figure it out.
Yep.
Okay, excellent. Holiday party. Yay. I'm glad you guys want to have one. It is now time for public comments. Thank you for your patience. I will give you another 3 minutes once you get started.
Okay.
And this can be on, as you know, any topic you wish to discuss.
Yes. My name is Colonel Albert. As the new incoming chair, Ms. JJ, comes in, there's something that's going to make me very important to me. Last year I saw some legislation try to push through the needle on the Florida legislature dealing with ethics commission. I want to know if there could be a conference sometime. If we can't get uniform ethics laws put in place from the state to the local level, that is something that that's very important to me. If we can even try to find what lawmakers on the state level that are very passionate about public trust, I think that is something that we could probably get legislation filed this year or probably the year after. Right now, the window closed. It's closing to file legislation, but we need. I want to see if we can get all 67 counties ethics office in one room, and let's have a conversation of who has the best model system that can be uniformly across the board. Because as I remember, one of the meetings I went to, when they wrote the legislation for the Ethics Commission, they left out subpoena authority. They left out investigation power. It was a watered down piece of legislation because you have some crooked politicians that do not like oversight. And they really don't like accountability. And one of the things that I would love to see is like, let's bring all of the 67 counties all in one room, let's hold a conference, and let's talk about what public trust means to the people. Because it shows in our elections. Because when we allow crooked politicians to get away because there's so many loopholes in the system, it destroys people taking part in our democracy by executing their right to vote. And to me, that's one of my biggest challenges. And Ms. JJ, if you can look at that, you know what I'm saying? This is one of those big charges I'm going to be following up and watching from a distance. But this is just something like, this is something that's very important. Oversight of a crooked politician that we have right now, tired of the reportings that we're getting in the media right now. And we need legislation to hold them accountable. And it has to come from the state level. We just got to get the lawmakers in place to do it. And I yield my time.
Thank you. Any other public comments? So we're up to announcements, and there are two. This one is about
LaTanya. Oh, dear.
So look at this beautiful thing that Sandy helped me see. It says, the D.W. Perkins Bar Association would like to congratulate one of our own, attorney LaTanya Lipscomb-Smith, on her selection as a fellow in Class 11 of the Florida Bar's Leadership Academy. We can't wait to see her growth and talent. Oh, there may be more, but I only knew about two. So I want to invite you, if you're interested, Baptist Health System and Wilson Children's Hospital is hosting the 16th Annual Pediatric Bioethics Conference, so a different look at bioethics. It's Friday, November 3rd. It's a four-hour virtual conference. It is free with promo code ADMIN for anybody who's interested. I brought some flyers to show you who the speakers are, and if you're interested and you can't really attend, if you register, we will send you a link to the recording later. And for what it's worth, we have the leading author on moral distress in healthcare speaking, and she's going to talk about moral communities, which I think is important to everyone. But in any case, if you have an interest, use promo code ADMIN when you register, and we'd be happy to have you as our guests. Anybody else have an announcement they want to make?
I won't be in town.
Oh, yeah, but if you're interested, the topics are on the back. You can register. It's free, and then you'll get a link to the recording, and you can watch it at your convenience. Okay. I don't know everybody. There's continuing education credits for physicians, nurses, social workers, respiratory therapists, and the like, but not really.
Not lawyers.
Lawyers get. Okay. not what lawyers get. Anybody else have any announcements? I was going to say something about this being my last meeting, but now that I have an assignment, it may not be my last meeting. I don't know. So if this turns out to be my last meeting, I will say something about my experience at our holiday party. And if we turn out to have another one, I'll have something smart to say then about how much this has meant to me. But maybe we'll meet again. All right, the meeting's adjourned.
Yeah,
thank
we can't
you.
Just let you walk away.
No, I can't just leave like that. That's it. All right, we'll come back. Maybe unless we come back to talk about I know. You're official January 1st. Leah, it was lovely to meet you in person.
Very nice to meet you.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I know.
Be
sure I get her name right. Leah. As in the
Princess Leah.